Welcome to Day Zero Update for April 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Jan Rev Victoria.
And yeah, we've got a bit of a busy week this week. Not really too much in the way of news, but we do have some interesting things to talk about. We got some layoffs, and then that same publisher won a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the right decision there. And a few more things getting announced and such, as well as a Nintendo Indie World Showcase. So we'll be able to talk about that stuff here shortly. Before we do that, we will talk about what we've been playing. And I'll kick it off here with Harold Halibut. It is on Game Pass now. I've been playing some of that. And that is a pretty fun adventure game. And it's a pretty chill one as well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you're not collecting a bunch of items to use on various things and trying to figure out how to do things. Mm. You pretty much can only interact with specific items or specific like machines and such. And there's not really much guesswork as far as I've seen so far, a few hours in. So, but I'm looking forward to put some more time into it. But it is set in the distant future where humanity, in the wake of bad stuff that was going on Earth, the rich people, I guess, started a ship to send like a few hundred humans out to a neighboring habitable planet that they could find.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that planet was covered in like poisonous gas. So they ended up sort of setting up their civilization under the water in sort of maybe a Bioshock-esque kind of a society, though it's very kind of low-key with everything that's going on. And so you're playing as Harold, who starts off the game getting fined for not paying his fees for the tubes, which I take to be, some criticism about the cost of the subways in the UK. Because there's always complaints here, like these tubes are always down for maintenance, and these other ones to keep raising the prices, all that kind of stuff, and to make the announcements confusing as far as Harold has to say about that stuff. But once you get that kind of settled with your boss, the professor, who sort of kind of gets you going on this story as you're kind of a fairly, boring maintenance man on this, on this part of the society, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you're getting, initially like, oh, you need to go fix this filter thing that's been an issue for a few days. And you also need to go talk to this guy to get some food to feed the fish that they have. Hanging around and, doing that kind of basic stuff, which is all pretty simple for what, as it tries to get you acclimated to the way it works and all that. It's not complicated. You got you can move around, but you also have a run, which just looks weird. It almost looks like Harold has to, is about to shit himself if he does not get to the toilet quick enough. It's that kind of run to it. There's a lot of like weird graphical things that are happening a lot. Animation stuff acting weird, the way that your character animates walking up and down steps looks weird. I found the bathroom. You can kind of run into the doors for the stalls, and if you go try and push them the wrong way, they just start freaking out and like trying to stop moving, but without the ability for them to actually stop, so they almost looks like the doors are being pulled off the hinges, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of little things that shows like, oh, this game looks really nice, but it's also, got a lot of little issues that doesn't really affect anything, doesn't really make it a bad game or anything, but definitely tell like this is a game from a smaller developer that I believe is also a Kickstarter game. So it's kind of that level of visuals, and it's doing a pretty good job with a sort of claymation, stop motion style of visuals. And yeah, you got some good visuals for the tubes, which you essentially get flushed when you're going to different areas. Mm-hmm. There's some liquid that showers your character as they get then flushed down the tube into the next area. That kind of stuff. But yeah, you're kind of... So far, I've not gotten to the big crux of the game, which I believe is you meet some sort of new character, new like creature that's on the box art for the game. So I've not gotten to that part yet, but I'm basically running around talking to people. I had like a little fun run with a couple of buddies. We were kind of running from one side of this like mall-like area to the other. And Harold is definitely out of shape, so he struggles as the other two just lap him. So you get that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, it's definitely not your typical kind of adventure game where you're collecting a bunch of items to figure out how to combine them or use them in esoteric ways. At least not so far. I don't think there's much of an inventory aspect to this game. You're basically looking at like a little PDA that you have that tells you like, here's the tasks you've been given. Tells you if they're required for the main story or if they're side stuff, which hasn't been too much of that. I've been talking to these guys that are part of the big corporation, All Water, that runs the tunnels and all that, are all twins or triplets or maybe quadruplets. I guess there's you see three of them and you find out they've got, you know, numbers as names. So you're like, oh, I heard there's another one of you. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't have anything to say about that, but you might want to go find this brother to learn more about the other brother, that kind of thing. So it's like, there's some extra stuff you can do for story reasons, but so far it's been pretty solid. It's a very chill kind of adventure game so far. Nothing, you know, life-threatening or anything has happened yet. So like, there's a lot of people that are finding it underwhelming just for that, but I think it's pretty good for that reason. It's not doing anything to really force you to work at a faster pace than you might want to. So, which makes it work pretty well for a controller. So yeah, there's Hell of Halibut. It's on everything, I believe. Or no, it's everything but the Switch. And it's on Game Pass as well, so you can check that out. Let's see. Also been playing some more MLB The Show 24 with my closing pitcher and Road to the Show still continuing to do well. We are in, I think, about end of July or August. I forget where. I managed to make the All-Star game in the first season, pitched an inning, did pretty well. With that, so that's been fun. But unfortunately my player is on a bad team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, at least here they are. So that's been frustrating. So I don't get too many opportunities, in a month to get some saves, but, maybe I'll get traded or become a free agent or something. I don't know, but, that's still been pretty fun to do. Also been playing some more Army of Ruin, the Vampire Survivors, like, because I'm waiting for Vampire Survivors to hit PlayStation proper. So there's that. Kind of diving into some of the extra stuff that gets unlocked as you keep playing. So I've been evolving some of my weapons and unlocking some of the charm stuff they started adding, which shows up later in some of these sessions. So there's that. Ayuden Chronicle Rising, I've been playing some more of. I think I'm pretty much about to beat it. So I've gotten to a section where they're like, oh, make sure you're ready to go before you do this because you can't return. And so I've been fighting a couple of bosses. I don't know if I have any more to go, but I've killed at least two. So I might just be at the point where I need to run through whatever's left to finish up that campaign. But that's been still been pretty fun. And then, yeah, the last thing I got in Analog Pocket. They put those on sale here a few weeks ago. I managed to get an order in for one, a black one. I have been liking it a lot so far. This is the analog device that plays natively, at least, GBA, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy proper games, as well as maybe Game Gear out of the gate. I know there's adapters for a bunch of other portable stuff, but that's been fun to kind of jump into and try out some of my old games that I have in a little baggie here. That's been pretty fun. Yeah, like Pokemon Blue, which I found out that my original save had names for all these Pokemon that were all kind of just curse names. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to try and figure out all this. Just started a fresh save on that. Then when I had Pokemon Ruby that I also jumped back into, it was like 20 some hours in. But that game has battery issues for most people at this point, where it has a lot of, like, it's used for like an actual live clock kind of thing. And so there's a lot of features tied into it. Nothing really too big, but it seems like a very dumb move for a game that would still be playable for quite a while longer. But, you know, to replace that battery, you have to do some soldering, and I'm not going to do that. So I'll probably just figure out a way to get some emulation stuff going on this thing and just transfer my save over and do it from there, so I have a proper way to play the full game there. So yeah, been jumping in, putting some games in, checking them out, seeing how what I have left over on these things, which most all the saves are just fine. But yeah, something just like a Mario Golf, I was left on this weird challenge I didn't quite understand, but yeah, that's been largely what I'm doing. I need to get a new memory card for that, because the one I'm using came from my 3DS. I think I swapped that to a bigger card back in 2015, so that's a card I'm probably not going to depend on long-term for this thing, so I'll probably pick that up here on a day off in a few days, so. That's been pretty much all I've been doing. So, Brandon, how about you? What have you been doing?
Well, as for me, I have finished both Dragon's Dogma 2 and Freedom Planet 2. Dragon's Dogma 2, I have to remind people, there's actually like a whole part of that game that you can completely miss if you... So the essential conceit of the Dragon's Dogma series has always been that in this universe that these games takes place in this case, they go, it's sort of like Final Fantasy. It's different worlds, but with sort of the vaguely same rule set. There's this dragon that comes by every generation, and when he shows up, he chooses a person who's going to be the quote-unquote the Arisen. Where she then chooses by basically tearing their hearts out of their chest and then eating it. In this case, in Dragon's Dogma 2, it means that you are also the sovereign, which means you're technically the king of the particular area in that. I'm very bad with the names in this game, but it's the vaguely medieval one that's, you know, Western medieval. But it also means that you have the power to control pawns, which are basically the other people that you end up getting in your party. And there's just a whole bunch of them that you can choose, and, you know, other people, you can make your own pawns and other people will use them in their games and stuff like that. But the thing is, eventually what happens is you will be fated to eventually fight and kill the dragon. But the game, about midway through, the game starts sort of giving you the clues that this is basically not so much a good thing, that it's more or less a cycle that the world is doomed to have to deal with over and over again until somebody breaks it. You can, in fact, break it in this game. It's kind of convoluted, but basically what you have to do is you have the sword that you get, and I forget what it's called. I forget its specific name, but it's a sword that you get after you manage to get like a bunch of dragon scales and once it's put together, it becomes a sword. And before you actually end up fighting the dragon actually has to come find you, and then you have to ride him to the arena where the fight takes place. But during that particular point, there's this big, long, sort of sort of not really a cutscene, but it's more of like he's sort of giving you like this one-sided conversation while you're sort of riding and crawling on his back. And it turns out if you get to a certain point on his back that's near where his heart or like his chest cavity is, you can actually take the sword that you've been given and you can stab yourself, which will in turn kill the dragon. And if you do this, it basically breaks the whole cycle. And what happens is the spirit guy who's been talking to you this whole time about it, who's basically been trying to do everything he can to make you continue the cycle, he basically brings you back about a month later to show you like what breaking this cycle has resulted in. And it's basically a dried up hellscape where all the water in the oceans has dried up, and there's all these you know, evil possessed monsters going about and everything. And that's when like the Dragon's Dogma logo in the game actually becomes Dragon's Dogma 2 with the 2 underneath it. And it ends up there's this whole other area of the game that you can go through. And I finished that a couple nights ago. It was much more, it's actually a lot more difficult than the first half of the game is, because the monsters, like the big boss monsters you have to go up against, instead of like with a lot of the normal monsters where you just have to like, you know, you can strike them anywhere and do any damage, these, they're basically covered in a material that's sort of like what's in the game is called the brine, which is this weird supernatural phenomenon that happens when you get too close to bodies of water that basically just swallows you up. But when you come in contact with it on land, it basically drains all your stamina and your life force as well. So you have to be careful. And in order to like fight these things, you usually have to go through like sections of their body. And they're like riddled with like these like nodes or whatever, like shining nodes. And you basically have to destroy each and every one of them. And it's not like, you know, there's one node per section of the body. There's usually like 5 or 6 of them. Sometimes they're in like a straight line. Sometimes they're not. But anyway, it amounts to you and your pawns having to crawl all over these things. And, you know, basically it takes a little while to kill them. But I did manage to pull it off. Shock among shocks. But yeah, that game was actually a lot of fun. Surprisingly, definitely had a little bit more depth to it than I thought it was going to be. But it is very much like a cliche storm. So, you know, buyer beware. And then I also finished Freedom Planet 2. That game was amazing. I adored it as much as I adored the first game. In fact, I think I might adore it even more because this one was a bit more open-ended, and it also, the writing was even better, which the first Freedom Planet, it's very good, especially compared to your typical game, because Freedom Planet basically plays like a Sonic game, like an old school Sonic game, but with, you know, better world building and characters that have personalities and writing that's actually really good. Freedom Planet 2 actually goes into some fairly heavy topics that you normally would not associate with a game of this type, but definitely recommend it. It is a lot of fun. But more or less, other than that, I've been getting back into Helldivers 2 because, you know, I had to do my part to spread democracy around the universe. And I've come to realize that the fun of those games, of that game, is the chaos. The chaos is not a bug, it is a feature. And you will die a couple of times during a mission. It is pretty much expected. Just go with the flow. But otherwise, yeah, that's more or less what I've been playing. So, Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, I actually put it on the document a few times, and I keep forgetting to talk about it, but I just wanted to quickly talk about the PlayStation Portal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this came out late last year, and it's basically just a way to, you know, play remote play on the PS5 using, like, the most comfortable method, because it's molded in the way of a DualSense controller while having this beautiful big ass screen in the middle, you know, very comparable to like what was had on the Wii U or the Switch, if you want to take it that way. But yeah, the main thing is remote play, and you know, I'm someone that owns a backbone, and the reason why I had these things, aside from, you know, the ability to play just, you know, away from home without having my PS5, is, you know, just being able to play in bed. And, yeah, so far, like, I've had this thing for, like, maybe a month and a half now, and I've had, like, really mixed results with it. Like, for some reason, when I'm playing at home, I never get the best quality stream with whatever I'm doing. Granted, like, I've only played two games with it. They were Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and then Persona 3 Reload. And, you know, both RPGs, but of course, one of them is way more hectic than the other. So with Final Fantasy, it was, like, sort of a problem. The thing is, with my backbone, for some reason or another, I was never able to play it, like, away from home. Like, I would connect to all the Wi-Fi available and nothing would ever work. But with the portal did work. You know, I went on a trip to Tahoe, which is about 4 hours up north from where I live now. And yeah, I was able to play both Persona and Final Fantasy with no issues at all. But yeah, for some reason, when I play at home, like, it just didn't work. And my internet connection is fairly solid. I have like I have gig speed internet, so it shouldn't be too bad. And like, it was weird because with my backbone, I can easily play that at home. So I will say, yeah, well, like I said before, the screen is beautiful, and the original purpose for why I got the portal is pretty much, you know, working the way it is. Like, I'm at my girlfriend's house almost every weekend, and, you know, lugging over the PS5 just to play for a few hours really isn't the best use of my time. So I got the portal for that, and I've had no issues playing what I had to play over there, and, you know, sort of just being caught up with what I had to play. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's probably worth the full $200, but if this came down to, like, you know, $150 or even below, I would definitely pull trigger there if you're definitely someone interested in remote play. So yeah, that's the PS Portal. Moving on, you know, I mentioned I was playing Persona 3 Reload. Finally finished it. I was using a guide most of the time, so I was able to get the platinum. But I cut it pretty close. Like, the game pretty much ends on January 31st, and I was able to maximize my social link with Aegis on January 30th, which, you know, it only left me a day. And the thing with that is, you know, not to get into too much spoiler territory, but you know her, like, after the first half of the game, but you aren't able to use her as a confidant until, like, the last month. So you pretty much spend every day you have outside Tartarus hanging out with her. But at the same time, like, I had a few other social links to finish as well. You know, I had Yukari, I had the person in the art club, and then I had Yuko. And obviously, like, two of those people are romance interests, so I had to make sure that I had those focused on. And, like, the thing that sucked is that even though I was using a 100% walkthrough, there were times where I couldn't raise any of the levels because I didn't have the right persona with me. And, like, that's definitely something you have to look out for, especially if you, like, plan on getting the platinum here, because you can waste a lot of time without realizing that you don't have the right persona with you. And this platinum was actually pretty interesting to get. One of the trophies here requires you to fuse Messiah, which is one of the personas that you get at the very end, and you have to actually fuse some older persona that you have in your party and just bring it all back up to what you have now. And yeah, like, considering I didn't use the fuse method very often at all, even going back to Persona 5, it was really interesting seeing how you can really just build your team in that regard. Like, even in Persona 5, I never really had this as a focus. So now that I know that this is a thing, it's definitely something that I'll continue to look forward to, especially as we start to hear more about Persona 6. So yeah, you know, just looking at Persona 3 Reload as a whole, you know, I never finished the original game, so it's just interesting seeing how it all pans out the way it does. I'm someone that's always known the ending because I watched a Watch Mojo video a few years back talking about, like, the most surprising endings in games. Unfortunately, like, I was already spoiled in that regard, but yeah, like, you know, I've talked about it before. Like, what really sets Persona 3 apart for me is the fact that all the confidants have really interesting stories. Like, you know, you have this one character who is pretty much who knows he's gonna die, you know, and, you know, it sets up both a sense of darkness and a sense of hope, just because, like, you know, you're befriending all these people, and it's just really cool seeing the way it's all put together. So anyway, after finishing Persona 3 Reload, I decided that I need sort of a palate cleanser, and I arrived on Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight. I played through Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight, you know, when that first came out. I bought the combo pack, and yeah, like, now that I'm playing Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, I wanted to see if, like, you know, it would bring up any sort of nostalgia I had for Persona 3 that I just played. And the main thing that I noticed is that, okay, a lot of these voices are different, which is something that I didn't expect. And then you also have the fact that there were quite a few songs in that game that I never heard before. So I was like, I don't know if playing Persona 3 even helped me with my experience here. Because when I was playing 5 Dancing in Starlight, it was something that I was completely enthused with, but Persona 3 just doesn't seem to rock that same boat. So I don't know if I'm going to platinum it, but it was definitely a nice change of pace, especially as we go into this week when we have games like Sandland and Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes coming out. But yeah, I also started the Stellar Blade demo today, and so far it's been really fun. I'm not really impressed visually. Then again, I'm not really sure that was really a big focus, but I'm getting a lot of Nier vibes. But I feel like the actual combat is a little bit more fun, but at the same time a little bit more challenging as well. Like, I'm only maybe like 20 minutes through, and I keep dying in the same part, so now I'm thinking about bringing the difficulty down just so I can get through it. But yeah, this one definitely looks exciting. I don't know if I'll pick it up when it's ready, but I'm just going to play this demo and see how it goes from there. As I mentioned, I'm getting ready for Sandland, and I'm watching the anime right now, so I'm using that for research before I get into it. But yeah.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. And first up here, we've got a new Itch bundle for some good charity relief. This is a Palestinian relief bundle that benefits, PCRF, Palestine Children's Relief Fund. They have a goal of $250,000 right now, and they are almost there, about 80% of the way there. So definitely, if you would like to support that, you can get this charity bundle for $8 on Itch with a good 373 games in it, or 73 items. As a few that are kind of content packs for people that make games and whatnot, so you can get some of that stuff as well. But yeah, there's a bunch of good indie stuff in here. You know, games like Anodyne. What else did I see here? Bleed 2. There's a bunch of good indie stuff in here that people like good experimental indie games should definitely check out. So yeah, definitely recommend checking out that bundle for that. So there you go. Some subscription news here. Game Pass or Xbox has announced some games coming to Game Pass here for the next couple of weeks. So see the stuff that's available now. There's Harold Halibut, as I talked about before, for PC and Xbox Series X and S. A nice little adventure game there. There's Orcs Must Die 3 for console and PC. That's already available. That's the third in a series of games where you're kind of designing, I don't know if it'd be like a tower defense, it's more dungeon defense kind of stuff. We're trying to get these orcs to go down these paths and run into your traps and such and try and stop them. So I don't know if this one's any good, but the first two were generally well liked, so there you go for that. Let's see. Also available now, EA Sports NHL 24. This is on EA Play now. So if you have that service on PlayStation, Xbox, or PC, you can check that game out, as well as Game Pass Ultimate. So you can check their new NHL game from last year. But coming up here on the 23rd, which I believe will be Tuesday, Ayuden Chronicle 100 Heroes will be available for console and PC. That is the big JRPG that they've been working towards, with Rising being kind of a prequel or side game of sorts. But this one will be the proper JRPG that you expect with the heavy influence from a lot of the people that worked on Suikoden. So it'll be a bunch of characters that you can recruit to your team to fight with. So yeah, that looks like that'll be a pretty neat game. So that'll be on Tuesday. On April 25th, there's another Crab's Treasure that'll be available on console and PC. That is the Souls-like game that is made by a small team. But instead of sort of dark brooding, you know, medieval knights and such fighting, you have a cute little hermit crab who's fighting a bunch of undersea creatures and such and collecting trash and all that kind of stuff to use as your shell to protect yourself with extra defense and all that. They had a pretty good April Fool's joke that was basically them being like, okay, you guys have complained this game's too colorful. We added Dark Souls mode, which makes everything dark and depressing. And then they're, you know, making some more Dark Souls references. Pretty good little video for that. But yeah, there's that. And then on April 26th, there's Manor Lords. That'll be just on PC. This will be the early access launch. That is a medieval strategy game with a bunch of city building, tactical battles, and all the economic and social simulation stuff you expect out of this. So that looks like that could be pretty neat as well. And then the last one here on April 30th, that'll be Tuesday next week, is Have a Nice Death, console and PC. This is like a 2D action roguelike. You're playing as Death, whose employees have gone rogue, and you have to go around and beat up your employees and take down the bosses and show them who the boss of Death is, I guess. So there's that. It looks like that's it. They do have some, I guess, new games coming to Game Pass Core. That's the smallest tier that's replaced Game Pass or Xbox Live Gold. Looks like they'll be adding Deep Rock Galactic, Super Hot Mind Control Delete, and Wreckfest for people to play there. So that'll be neat. Some solid games there. But yeah, that looks like largely it here. So yeah, some nice stuff to look forward to here for the next next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely a pretty cool lineup. The highlights for me are definitely Ionian Chronicle, especially since this is a game that I've been looking forward to for a long time. I've made the PR firm like really know about that, and then they never told me that 505 Games ended up switching who it was. So yeah, I'll definitely be picking it up on Game Pass from there. And then another Crab's Treasure is also, you know, we saw it on one of the Switch presentations a few weeks ago, and I know it's been on early access for a while, but I'm looking forward to trying this one out.
Yeah. So yeah, PlayStation had some indie announcements. And the big one here was that they are getting Darkest Dungeon 2 coming to PS5 and PS4 on July 5th, or 15th, sorry, for $39.99. So you'll be able to check that out. Yeah, they're also having a special edition that includes some extra stuff here for an extra $5, but you can start pre-ordering that now. That was in early access on Steam for quite a while. For almost a good 2 years, and came out in full last May. Mm-hmm. But it's finally coming out here onto the consoles, and that's good to see. Mm. I believe the big thing they changed up here, visual style, it's more 3D characters versus the 2D art of the original.
Yeah.
But they've added, let's see, they got more, a massive system of upgrades and boons, mm-hmm. new strategies for each expedition. And there's affinity system for heroes becoming friends with each other, that kind of stuff to help them manage their stress and all that a bit better. But I assume also more ways for your characters to get depressed and lose their mind in the process of doing all this stuff. So, yeah, there you go. You'll be able to check that out this summer. And, and least surprising news, the devs of Ayudin Chronicle 100 Heroes, Rabbit and Bear Studios, said they are moving forward with the sequel to the game that's out this week. So that's cool to see. Mm-hmm. They said here, We're moving forward with the sequels. Very sad that Murayama is not with us anymore. We have discussed many things with him. I hope we'll be able to carry on Murayama's legacy, and I always want to treasure his last work. But many people support this game. So, yeah, that'll be fun to see that do well enough for them to make the next game even bigger. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's great news.
All right. Sounds great.
And I guess we'll get to this one here next. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got announced. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the big feature is less racism.
Yep.
Because if you do not remember that original game, there's a whole lot of issues that people had with the game that they were making, especially with the main dev, Daniel Vavra, who was very much entrenched in Gamergate.
Yep.
And all that. And they were trying to make this realistic game that seemed to deny that there were anything but white people in Europe back then.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Europe is connected to Asia and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be hard for those people to make their way over from time to time, if not live there for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the thing that really kind of stained that original game's kind of legacy there.
Yeah, which sucks because the game itself was legitimately very good. I did the review for that one when it came out. And I genuinely loved it. But yeah, I'm just glad that they're improving upon it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if he is still on this game. He might be. But yeah, the key points for what's new with this this game is a reputation system where NPCs react to the player's habits. There's crossbows and early firearms.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blacksmithing minigame, I guess. Chat mode for giving quick responses to NPCs. And overhauled combat to be more approachable, but still realistic and crunchy. And yeah, the other one is also they're going to have a greater variety of ethnicities in the game. So that's good. But yeah, kind of an announcement for a thing that was expected, but yeah, kind of very much a lot of bad vibes around that game.
Yeah.
I don't know if Daniel Vavra is still on this game and still believes that stuff, or if he's grown at all.
I hope so.
Yeah. But yeah. In case you're wondering, this is also an Embracer game. Much like the original. Published by what was Deep Silver, now PlayOn. This is one of Embracer's main publishing hubs, so.
Yep.
There's more of that shit to it, so. There you go. I don't think they have any sort of time frame for when this will be out. Might still be a couple more years away, so.
Could
see how that goes. Or no, they're just saying it'll be out later this year. Okay, so. That's fairly soon. But yeah, it's only on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. So there you go. Let's see. Next up here. Yeah, Take-Two had one bit of good news this week. There's been a lawsuit that's been going on for a good 7 years, I think. Based around the tattoos that LeBron James has on his body. That are represented in the NBA 2K games. And yeah, the tattooist named Jimmy Hayden has sort of put in that he owned the copyright to the tattoos, the designs that LeBron has on his body. I'm not sure which specific ones, but that gave him the rights to that art, that 2K had to, you know, get his permission to use them. But it seems like the lawsuit here that was done here in Ohio returned the verdict that Take-Two had not infringed on his copyrights after their lawyers convinced the jury that it had secured permission to use James' likeness that included basketball stars' tattoos as well. Which makes sense. I feel like once a player gets tattoos, the markings on there are not, even if they're like corporate or privately owned copyright mm-hmm. stuff, that they should come with the athlete themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there'd be some circumstances if it's like a Pepsi logo or something like that. You might yeah. not be able to get that stuff, but at least for this was just about a local tattoo artist for that. So this seems to make pretty good sense for that.
Mm.
That's, you know, athletes with tattoos, which there's plenty of them,
mm-hmm.
that they shouldn't have to do extra work just to be represented properly in games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, this kind of thing is pretty common, especially when it comes to, you know, companies like 2K and EA, where they have to work with professional athletes. And that, you know, as Chris mentioned, a lot of athletes have tattoos, you know, like, you know, I don't know if any of you guys have a tattoo. I don't, but I'm pretty sure that there aren't a lot of situations where when you get a tattoo, you have to sign a waiver about things like ownership and things like that, especially when it's, you know, I mean, when you're LeBron, like, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, you're a superstar and everybody's going to try to get you. And then, like, in regards to, like, things like video games, you want to make sure that you have the most accurate likeness available. But, yeah, like, again, like, this is something that, you know, we see a lot. I saw it when I worked on a WWE game. Like, we went as far as even changing some of the designs that we saw on people's body. And it's like, should we even be allowed to do this kind of thing? And, like, you know, take for example, Brock Lesnar. There are a bunch of 2K games where his back tattoo looks like a dick. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, they weren't allowed to use the actual tattoo. So that's kind of unfortunate, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, that seems like that's the good news for them this week. The bad news is that they have laid off 5% of their workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process also canceled $140 million in projects that were being developed. So I believe that they have roughly 11,000 people working, or had 11,000 people working. So 5% would be about 550 people, which is a lot of people. They make the, which kind of comes in a bit of an awkward moment when not too long ago, maybe about a month ago, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick had said they had no plans to lay off any more employees. Following a cost reduction program that they teased in a March investor call, which layoffs on these kind of scales takes, you know, probably a couple of months to lay down all the groundwork for it, for, you know, all your severance packages and what to do with healthcare and all the other stuff that people may have with stock and all that. So, yeah, that's. But it makes it seem like he blatantly lied about this to make for good PR. But, you know, the layoff itself, obviously not a good time. And yeah, they will incur approximately $160 million to $200 million in total charges in connection with the plan.
Mm-hmm.
They expect $40 to $60 million of the total charges resulting in future cash expenditures. The total charge consists of approximately $120 to $140 million related to title cancellations, approximately $25 to $35 million associated with employee severance and employee related costs, and approximately $15 to $25 million related to office space reductions. So yeah, they're spending a pretty penny on all of this for that. So yeah, unsurprising really, because they were one of the last few big publishers that had not made big layoff news. I think the only other layoff news they had attached to them was in acquiring Gearbox, that they had a number of those people laid off in the process before they brought on everything else. So yeah, there you go. Take-Two having a heck of a week here, losing a bunch of people. So yeah, there you go. But we can get to some better news here. There was a Nintendo Indie World Showcase. They had a bunch of games in it.
Yeah,
mostly new stuff. A couple of these are just dates that we already had in mind, but we'll get through the other stuff here. First up, Little Kitty Big City. This is a game that's been in the works for a while. It is essentially like a big open maybe adventure game of sorts, as you're playing a cat who has sort of fallen out of the window of their apartment that they lived in, and are sort of exploring the city and trying to find the way home eventually, but along the way has a bunch of adventures with other cats and creatures and such that are around in the city. So very much one of those kind of games. So that looks like that's going to be pretty fun. That'll be out on May 9th. It's also coming to Xbox, Switch, and PC, as well as on Game Pass. So you can check that out here next month, in a few weeks. Next up here, we got one of our surprises, Yars Rising. This is an Atari game being made by WayForward for everything. PS5, Xbox, Switch, PC, as well as the Atari VCS. And despite the title, it's not a Yars sequel so much.
No.
Though it does tie into it, I think, a little bit, but it's more of a Metroid-like featuring a character named, Emi Kimura, a young hacker who is hired by some mysterious patron to infiltrate the shadowy Kotech Corporation. And so there's a lot of sneaking around the area, taking down enemies, crawling and climbing around to get into these different areas and doing all that. And I think along the way, you also play some Atari games.
Yeah.
They throw in there because why not? I think I saw a little bit there. She was playing like Yars Revenge. So that's what they make her do.
Yep.
At some point. So that looks like a pretty neat game. I think it's supposed to be out later this year, so you can check it out then. So yeah, there's that. Then we got a game that's like a meditation game of sorts, or called Refined Self, the personality test game. I think it came out for PC last year. Yeah, PC and mobile. It's come to Switch here, and it's kind of a exploration-based adventure game of sorts, where how you interact with people and who you help and or don't help leads to, at the end, you getting assigned a certain kind of personality profile that then you can, you know, replay and make other choices. So it almost kind of looks like a bit of like an Undertale kind of thing, but less of an edge to it, comedy focus and all that. But still looks pretty neat for what that is. So that is coming out this summer, and that's a timed console exclusive. For that, there's a handful of those here. Much like this next one called Sticky Business. That came out last year. Yeah, last year for the PC. This is a game where you are kind of running a sticker shop of sorts, where you're getting hired to make stickers for people, sheets and all this kind of, you know, designs and all that kind of stuff. So you're using these sort of pre-made elements to put together and make, you know, something that fits what the order wants, that kind of stuff. So you're trying to earn money and expand your shop and do all that kind of stuff. So that's like a neat little game that is pretty chill. It's out now for $10, and I also have DLC available as well for $3.99 called Playing With Me. And they have a 10% discount for the launch, so you can check that one out. And then, yeah, next up here, Anton Blast. This is a very Pizza Tower kind of game. I believe this one came out before that, originally on the, or was announced first before Pizza, or yeah, Pizza Tower. But it's that kind of very kind of wacky style to it. And sort of being influenced by the original kind of Wario Land games, which were sort of these kind of frenetic and wild platformers where you weren't really doing traditional platforming. You're doing a lot of running up walls and all these kind of moves to get around in non-traditional ways, at least from what you were expecting. But yeah, this this one has more GBA style aesthetics to it. So looks pretty neat. That'll be out November 12th, I think, at least on Steam. I'm not sure if the Switch will be the same day, but that looks to be around when that's going to be out. So there's a Switch demo out now. I guess they updated the PC demo to be at the same levels that are available now as well. And yeah, this is also a timed console exclusive. So three of those right here, back to back to back for that. Let's see. We got Valley Peaks. This game I think has been out. I don't know. PC has been announced for PC for a while, but it's coming out later this year. It's sort of a first-person climbing simulation game of sorts where you're kind of, it's almost like a short hike, but instead of that being a game where you're exploring and kind of flying around, this one you're doing more climbing to it. But yeah, kind of in this, kind of this like camping grounds area, with exploring like mountains and other areas around here, radio towers, all this kind of stuff in Valley Peaks. So has a very nice style to it. So that's out later this year. Then we got Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. This is a survival horror game with a very neat style to it. Almost like a Killer 7 kind of look to it. This is from Simogo, a developer that's made a bunch of stuff. They did Sayonara Wild Hearts and Year Walk and a bunch of games they've been popping out. This one is coming to Switch and PC on May 16th. That's one for people to keep an eye on. So that's looking pretty cool for that. So there you go. Then we got Europa. That is also just Switch and PC. There's a demo out now, so you can check that out. It'll be out later this year. It's an adventure game with a very nice style to it. I don't know if it's supposed to be Ghibli style or what, but it kind of has that kind of vibe to it. You can check that one out. Then we got TMNT Splintered Fate, new cool. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that I believe was on Apple Arcade since last summer. And so this one, or no, yeah, launched last May. It is a roguelike action game, so I believe they're adding more to it as this game launches in July, I think. It'll be timed to console exclusive here. I've heard decent things about the game, so hopefully it improves some. Because it could be a pretty cool game, though I might end up waiting for it to hit other platforms as well. So, yeah, this will just be essentially Apple and Switch exclusive for the time being. So, there you go for that. Then, we got a date for Cat Quest 3, which is great. So that is August 8th. That's on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. This is the third game in the series of action RPGs, big open-world action RPGs with a very heavy focus on cat and cat puns, all that kind of stuff. So that one's one I'm looking forward to here. Then we got Stitch. This is a neat little puzzle game based on embroidery with that. It has a really nice style to it. That is pretty cool. That is out now for the Switch. Seems to be a Switch exclusive, but it was on Apple Arcade as of about a year and a half ago. So this looks pretty nice. Has like a numbered grid kind of thing going. Not like Picross, but more like, I'm forgetting what the style of puzzle game is, but there's definitely a style of puzzle game that's like this. It has a really nice look to it. You're doing a lot of design work by the way it's set up, and then you unlock the ability to kind of go back and change the colors and decide how you want it to look to do a free stitch mode, they call it. But they also have daily puzzles that are not intended to look like anything specifically and just be a challenging puzzle. So you can check that one out. That is out now. I believe $15. So there you go for that. Then we also got an announcement for Bzzzt. B-Z-Z-T. This is a side-scrolling platformer that is coming to the Switch this summer. I believe it's been out on Steam since last year. It's supposed to be a pretty good game, so That's one to check out where you're, I believe you're a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, run around beating up a bunch of stuff and get around these tough areas. So it will do all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that looks looks pretty neat for that. Yeah, that's out this summer. And then there's Skim that is coming to everything PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC on July 18th. It's a game that I believe was on a Day of the Devs during Summer Game Fest, I think about 2 years ago. Mm. This is a game where you're playing as a creature called a Skim who hides in the shadows, and you're basically using the shadows of these sort of everyday environments to jump around from them to get to, you know, wherever the end of the stage is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can rotate the stage around a little bit to get different perspectives on the objects around and find the shadows and all that kind of stuff. So it has a really nice look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And from I've seen, they do have some accessibility stuff they've talked about where this is a very color focused game. Mm-hmm. So they allow you to change the color palettes. So if you have issues mm-hmm. with certain colors, you can change that so it's more easily visible to see what you're doing. So that kind of stuff's pretty cool to see. So yeah, that's out in July. So definitely worth checking that one out. And then yeah, they talk about Animal Well, which we all know is already coming out May 9th. So they're showing that off. Then Duck Detective, The Secret Salami, that I believe is an adventure game. Featuring, you know, your main character is a duck. It seems almost like a Paper Mario style to it, where it seems like the environments are all in 3D, but your characters are all these 2D portraits to it. But that'll be out May 23rd for Switch and PC. Mm. So it looks pretty neat.
Mm.
They describe this as, let's see, Agretsuko meets Return of the Oberdin.
Oh, that's a good one.
cozy mystery game about a down on his luck duck searching for answers in a sinister sausage based conspiracy. So
mm-hmm.
there you go for that. And then yeah, we got another Crab's Treasure getting shown off here. That'll be on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, PC, as well as Game Pass here later this week, April 25th. And then yeah, they had their one more announcement here. SteamWorld Heist 2 got announced, a long awaited new game for SteamWorld.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise, bringing back the heist games, which were a great little 2D XCOM like. So that was a very fun game. So they're doing more of that with a new art style to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed for a 3DS or a Vita anymore. But yeah, they're doing more of the 2D XCOM stuff. But you also have this like open worldish kind of thing where you're controlling this like submarine. You can attack other vessels you run into between stages.
Mm-hmm.
It has really nice kind of vibes to this. And they've also confirmed that they had the band Steam Powered Giraffe doing music for the game in the first game. Mm-hmm. And they are returning for this one to do some more music,
mm-hmm.
as well as the three members of that band being characters in the game.
Yep.
I don't think they're playable. They're just, you're going to run into like a bar scenario where there's a band playing, and it'll be those three. So that'd be cool.
Mm.
More of them, because they do some good work on the music. So yeah, this one's going to be pretty cool. This is also out August 8th,
mm-hmm.
Which is a punishment to me. I have two of the games that I'm most looking forward to, mm-hmm. Cat Quest 3 and SteamWorld Heist 2 on the same day, but I can deal with that. So yeah, bunch of stuff there, some cool stuff. So yeah, Brandon, anything you're looking forward to here?
Huh. Yars Rising looked kind of interesting. I am interested to see how they're going to be able to try and take like that's like an old school classic Atari title that they're trying to build off of, and it's going to be interesting seeing how they're going to try and turn this into something modern. I mean, that's more or less it. They're going to have to show some more of this, some of this other stuff before I get interested.
Yeah. How about you, Danner?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, this is one of the best indie world showcases I've seen in a while. It just sucks that, you know, they're always plagued by comments from people looking for a Silk Song. First of all, Silk Song is not going to be in one of these. Indie mm-hmm. World has always been about, like, you know, flashlighting just these awesome games coming from indie developers all over the world, not just, like, mm-hmm. one part. And, like, yeah, so it's really unfortunate and, like, you know, shame on the viewers for that. But, yeah, I'm happy it started off with Little Kitty Big City. When this game was first announced, like, I was more high on this than I was for Stray. Like, you know, Stray is beautiful, Stray was fine, but it doesn't look like it has the whimsy that Little Kitty Big City will have, and that's definitely more along the lines of what I'm looking for. Anton Blast looked awesome. It reminds me of, like, Wario Land 4. We haven't gotten, like, a real Wario game in a long time, and we probably never will. And that'll probably be the last thing that we, or the next best thing we get. I especially like the thing where, like, after you beat a level, you have to just go back to the very beginning and just have the chaos make the level feel different. That's really cool. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes looks really awesome. I don't know how that'll run on Switch, but yeah, it looks pretty cool. TMNT, I'm excited for obvious reasons. Both Bzzzt and Skim were two games that, you know, I never heard of and definitely have a lot of interest in. I understand why they ended with SteamWorld Heist, but I've never played any of the SteamWorld games, so I don't really have much of a connection to that. But yeah, it was a really fun presentation, and it definitely made me add a lot of these dates to my own list.
Yeah, I definitely do recommend a lot of the SteamWorld games. I feel like your Metroids, SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2 are very good games. There's SteamWorld Quest, which is a deck-building RPG. Well, Sword says a really fun deck-building combat system. Yeah, the heist games are pretty good XCOM-style games. So, definitely some good stuff to check out if you have not done so before.
Gotcha. Yeah, they've always come out like during like really hectic times. And I always see them go on sale every now and then. But yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout for those.
Yeah, so yeah, there's that, and yeah, I'm going to have to wrap it up here as the show is out of things to talk about. We got some stuff coming out this week here with, let's see, Hyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes on Tuesday, Tales of Kinzera Zao is also on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, we got another Crab's Treasure.
Yep.
There's Megaton Musashi Wired from level 5
mm-hmm.
and Saga Emerald Beyond. And Whisker Waters also out that day. So yeah, there's a bunch there. And then Sandland and Stellar Blade are also on Friday.
Yep.
So a bunch of that stuff. And I believe also the Fallout 4 PS5 and Xbox Series X and S upgrade version is also out that same day. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, a lot going on. So yeah, that's fun to see. So yeah, we'll have to check out out here. Probably have something to talk about, at least a couple of those games. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Brandon Danner for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about, and okay. Yeah, some games, since there's like 10 of them coming out
yep.
next week. This week.
A bunch of them.
So yeah, we'll have some things to talk about, a couple of those. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.